Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. You're so tired of watching all your friends get married and looking at everybody else having healthy, secure relationships, and you're sitting on the sidelines wondering, when will it be my turn? I want to invite you that you can decide to take ownership, that you can say, I'm going to become the version of me who effortlessly attracts my emotionally available ideal partner. And you're going to stop wasting your time on relationships that go nowhere, right? I want to invite you that you can make that decision. And spring is an incredible time to do the work with us inside of the Empowered, Secure, Loved program. This program is founded by myself, Dr. Morgan, clinical psychologist, attachment theory expert. It has helped hundreds of women become securely attached so that they can attract the relationships that they deserve. Now is your turn. And this spring is an incredible time to join us introducing Soft Girl Secure Spring Sale this April only. When you join the program, you get a bonus training that is how to embody secure feminine energy. This is a topic I love talking about, and you'll get this training as a gift. Also, you'll get the Become the One bundle. This is all about becoming the secure version of you. It includes meditations, affirmations, a communication framework. It is so, so valuable. And that's another gift. On top of that, you get a bonus month in the program. So instead of 2 months with us, you'll have 3 whole months where you'll receive support, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and of course, the coursework, all of that with a bonus month and a $400 discount on the program. So that is a no-brainer. If you've been on the fence, if you've been thinking about doing the work, this is the time. Take advantage of our Soft Girl Secure Spring Sale. This is going away, and I would apply to the program today. Go use the link in the show notes, and it's super easy. You'll fill out an application, meet with someone on my team, and go from there. So it takes 5 minutes, go to the link in the show notes, apply today. I can't wait to see you inside of the program. Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. We have a very special guest with us, Bria Gadd. Welcome, Bria.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I am going to read Bria's bio here just so the audience knows a little bit about what you do. So she is an integrative nutritionist, holistic health coach, and female hormone expert. She helps women in perimenopause know their body and heal their hormonal chaos so that they can thrive in their body and relationships. She's also the host of a top wellness podcast and the creator of a proven formula to help women thrive in midlife. Welcome, welcome. I know we're going to get all into what you do. And I was telling you before we hit record that this is like perfect timing for me because at this point in my life, I am so focused on my hormones.
I love hearing that because I don't even know that we realize, like, I don't think we're ever taught to focus on our hormones until there's a problem. And yet, I mean, they kind of run the show like at all times in our body. So it's so important that we focus on it.
It is. It is. And I know myself, and I think a lot of women can relate to this of, you know, I spent so much time in my 20s just trying to be as skinny as possible. And I would starve myself and eat like 1200 calories a day and run for 4 miles on the treadmill. And
I just know that I had long periods of time not being very kind to my body. And I feel like my 30s have been all about, okay, how do I nurture myself, care for myself, instead of focusing on the scale or looking a certain way? Yeah. How do I prioritize how I feel? I want to feel really good. And I know that hormones are part of the equation for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And your story of like that, you know, trying to be skinny and like starving yourself in the long, like I was there. I did the same thing in my 20s. I think every single woman I knew did that exact same thing. So, and the hard part is that I think that actually really messes with our hormone, or I know it does. It really messes with our hormones and makes things worse. However, youth is very forgiving, right? Like it's like we have youth on our side, yes. And it kind of accommodates like a brand new engine. And then we start to head into these years of like 35 plus, and you're like, mm-hmm. What the hell is happening here? I'm doing all the same things and I'm like feeling worse than ever, gaining weight, having terrible periods, whatever it might be, like enter your XYZ symptom. And it's a real like slap in the face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to get all into that. Before we dive into your expertise, can you tell us your story of how you started to focus on this and what led you to do the work that you do?
Yeah, I love this. I love sharing this story because I feel like I hear a similar one from so many women. I spent like the end of my 20s and most of my 30s as like an online personal trainer and nutrition coach. I worked with like thousands of women, like finding fitness in their lives and like having great success. And it was obviously, it was what I had done that worked well for me. And I loved it. It became like the foundation of what I love to do. And then around 35, I started hearing from my clients, like things just weren't working the same. They were just starting to feel really tired all the time, or their periods were kind of holding them back from being able to push harder in their workouts, or they were gaining weight that they didn't really feel like they deserved. And I remember feeling like super stumped. I mean, when you make a living helping people and now you can't help them, it's a little bit like, whoa, what's going on? But around 37, it started happening to me. And I was like, what? You know, I was so felt so solid, you know, like big self high five, like I've got my fitness locked in, you know, I've got my nutrition locked in. And it started with like this just overall fatigue. And like, where I'd have to either take a nap in the afternoon, or I'd be falling asleep at like 7:30 at night on the couch, like my kids would laugh and be like, oh, mom's in bed. And they were little then still. And cravings, and like I'd have to take extra caffeine just to get through my workouts. But I started gaining weight around my belly, which I was like, what is going on? And had my periods started getting wonky, and I had digestive issues. And then the kicker for me, Morgan, was that I stopped sleeping well. And I was like, I would wake up every night and I'd have night sweats, actually, but I'd be laying awake there and started having this anxiety. And that was what kind of sent me to my healthcare practitioner. And she like did all the blood work, and she was actually like really amazing, asked all the questions. And she was kind of like, you know, Bria, you're the picture of health. And like, you know, when you leave the doctors and you're like, I'm really glad that all the awful things that came up on Google that I was Googling are not my problem. And it's super depressing when you're like, if this is how I'm going to feel the rest of my life, like at 37, yeah. I'm like, am I really going to feel better than this? You know, I'm like, work out every day. I have all this dialed in. And I'm like, if this is the best I'm going to feel, like, I just don't think I can do it. And it was like, that was my low moment, right? Where you're like, this is really bad. And after that, I was like, okay, I see women older than me feeling amazing. Like, I know it's possible. And like, with my period being wonky, I was like, it's got to be something in my hormones. And that really kind of pivoted me into, you know, a whole pile of gut health and women's hormones certifications, and just really understanding this piece. And it was the next kind of 4 to 6 months where I really started to understand what happens in a woman's body always with our hormones that nobody teaches us, but especially from 35 on, that changes the game. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I understood what was happening and how to heal it, like I finally slept through the night, I had better energy. I like lost about 15 pounds that just kind of slipped away. And I felt like, I just felt relief, you know? And I knew if I was in this industry and didn't know this information, like how are women who aren't in this industry going to learn this information? And wow. That was a real, yeah, pivoter for me.
So amazing. And I love, I think all great missions kind of start from that place of service of like, hey, I went through this thing. I had to figure it out. That's how I started. Everything I do was like hitting rock bottom in relationships. So I think there's so much passion and drive and like this desire to really figure it out and to really help other people when you've been through it yourself. So I love your story. Yeah. I love the part about, because this is so good, of like, you went to the doctor, they told you you were in perfect health, but you knew, this is off. I am not myself. And this is part of that whole trusting yourself, knowing your intuition. And I think so many of us have been burned by healthcare providers that like tell us everything's fine when we know it's not.
Yeah, totally. And it's super confusing, I think, for us. But I think when you know your body, you can get to that point where you're like, okay, you're confident enough to be like, no, I know something's not right. And I'm not going to just lay down and like wave the white aging flag and take this for what you're saying. Like something's not wrong. I got to do something about it.
Because society also will kind of have a voice and say like, oh, you're just getting older. Or like all the memes about being in your late 30s. It's like, oh, you're just tired. You're just taking naps. Everything hurts. And it's just normalized. It's expected.
Oh, that's the perfect term for it. Because, and so then we just kind of assume like the only thing I first of all, I'd never even heard the term perimenopause before I was smack in the middle of it. And what I've learned is that 50% of women don't know the difference between what perimenopause and menopause is. And so the only thing I'd ever heard was menopause. And what I've been was told is like, oh, you're going to be cranky and you're going to be hot. And I'm like, this is all the knowledge we get from like culture. It's sad when you think about it.
Yeah, it's not helpful. Well, I'm so glad you're here to help us all learn. I know we have so many women in that age range who listen to this show. But even if you're in your late 20s, I think it's just always good to be educated and to know. So, So tell us, what is perimenopause?
Yeah. So menopause is just one day, 365 days after you stop having a period. So it like usually happens in your mid 50s. I mean, unless you have, you know, surgery or other, you know, things that cause it to change. But typically it's like one day. Everything up to that, which usually starts around 35, is called perimenopause. And it's essentially just the transition. Like I like to think of it, it's like a reverse puberty, right? We're just reversing the clock there. And what happens in perimenopause that we don't really ever get taught is that the role of our hormones, like our main sex hormones, are being passed from our ovaries to our adrenals. And our adrenals are our stress managers. And the state of those adrenals at the time that you, that transition happens, absolutely determines how fine or terrible you're going to feel during this time frame. And at the same time, the other thing that's happening in our brain is this, like the shifting of this hormones, these transition, are like our amygdala and our hippocampus, which are our memory encoders and retriever in the brain. They're really sensitive to estrogen and progesterone. And as they change, we actually become more aware of like past traumas, of things that bother us, of like, you know, if we've been people pleasers for a really long time, like it's, I think of it really almost like this subconscious drive to reproduce really starts to kind of dissipate like a fog. And suddenly we're like, actually, this really pisses me off, you know, now that we have time to think about something else. And so that alone also really irritates the stress in our body because of this transition happening. So we're just more sensitive. There's still a strategy to get there. It's just not the strategy anyone ever taught us to have.
That's so fascinating. Yeah. And it's so true that nobody talks about this. Like I can't think of ever really being, even with girlfriends or even my friends who are older, I'm like, we just don't really talk about this. So I love that we're talking about it. What are some signs that your body is not handling perimenopause? I can't even say it. Like I never hear it said.
Yeah. And you know, it's fine. If you're not 35 yet and you're feeling any of these things, there are also signs of hormonal like imbalance or hormonal chaos, I like to call it. So definitely like unexplained weight gain, especially around the belly, like, especially if you don't feel like you just don't deserve it. You're like, I don't know where this is coming from. So like belly fat's a really big one, fatigue, brain fog, a rise in anxiety, or like more extreme PMS symptoms, hot flashes, night sweats. Like some women have heart palpitations. There's actually 48 known symptoms of perimenopause. There's so many, but that really sums up like digestive issues for sure. And then of course, things like low iron or, you know, low micronutrients in the body can really do that as well. So there's so many and they range so much, but I'd say those
hair
are the
loss,
most common.
Is hair loss. Hair loss. One too?
Yeah, that's a good one. Hair loss for sure is a big one. Dry skin, like really dry skin, which when you're kind of hitting those 40, you're not there yet. But when you start to get closer to 40, like you feel like you're already aging so fast. So then when you have dry skin as well, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just aging before my very eyes. And you're like, I guess I'm just getting old, right? Like off to the Botox clinic.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's totally rectifiable, I guess. That's the thing. And then we end up going down the wrong path, which can make it worse sometimes.
And Bria, I feel like, you know, this so relates to what I do too, where it's like people think that there's all these like surface level things. Like they're like, oh, I need to try a different dating app, or I need to look a certain way, or I need to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, actually, let's deal with the core issue. I think about you and it's like all the freaking hair oils and like, I don't know,
skin creams and eye creams and like supplements and quick pills and workouts, even like
workouts. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So all this surface stuff when it's like, no, actually let's get to the root of things. Yeah. Tell me about that, of like the results that you see, or like what happens when you help people actually address the root cause.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll also, the one other thing, as soon as you started talking again, I was like, oh, libido. Libido is a really big one that starts to shift, which impacts relationships 100%, right? If we're kind of like, you know, not feeling it, like that can really throw a wrench into things. So what I always find that women are usually in one or two places when it comes to hormonal chaos. Either they're right in it, or they're having all of these symptoms and they like nothing they try is working. Like they're doing all the workouts they used to do, or they're intermittent fasting, or they're calorie cutting, and they're just feeling worse and worse and worse. Or they're just feeling like lackluster, you know, or you're just like, oh, my period's just not great. Like I, you know, feeling a little meh overall, the libido's kind of slowing down and you just feel wrong. And depending on where you are is kind of where you'd want to insert into your path. But if you're way in the chaos, you almost want to look at like your hormones. I think it's so much easier to look at things like a broken bone, because we can see broken bones, right? It's like we can see what's actually happening. Whereas I feel like inside of us is almost more like a mental health thing where we don't really see it. So it's hard to kind of name it and point it. So I really think of it as like when your hormones are in chaos, you're always dealing with inflammation and like this added workload on your body. So it's like having way too many tabs open on your computer, your battery's constantly draining, and then we don't have bandwidth for anything else. So we're in this inflammation, and just like a broken ankle, the first thing you need to do is almost like wrap it up and rest it for a little while. Because if you don't, you're just walking around on a broken ankle, smashing it against things and making things worse, no matter what you try. So women will often be like, okay, well, what workouts should I do? Or how should I be eating? Right? These are those, as you were saying, those kind of symptoms that we try to like, what pill should I take? When really what we need to do is actually dial it right back and focus on like very consistent, like easy living, so that the body doesn't have to think too much. It can just heal. And that kind of looks like, I call it circadian rhythm stuff. Our circadian rhythm is like our 24-hour clock. It's the rhythm we're all born with, like men, women, animals, plants even. And it kind of dictates like our energy and our metabolism, like when we're hungry and things like that. So really simple things like going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time and eating within 2 hours of waking and then 4 to 5 hours later, like real consistency in your body can kind of take the workload out of what your body is also trying to do. It's like, if anyone's ever, you know, worked in a corporate environment and one of their peers goes on like a maternity leave or on a leave of anything, and all of a sudden they have to do all this other work and they're not getting paid more and they don't have more time to do it. That's what's happening in your body. It now like has more going on and no more extra resources to manage it.
Wow. So that's so fascinating to think about. Cause I think about like the modern woman and all the things we have on our plates, and you know, we're trying to build careers and relationships and really that whole just consistency of like, okay, I'm going to go to bed at 9 every night, get up at 7 every day. Like, I know that that is so, it's one of those things that's simple, but it's not easy, right?
No. And I try to look at it like it's just a healing phase. Like we don't have to make our life like that all the time. Like there's all, you know, there's really inflammatory foods that kind of piss the body off more, right? You know, like alcohol and caffeine and sugar and all the things we're like, what? I don't want to give that up. But I'm not interested in giving these things up for life. But when we pull them for a healing process of just like 4 to 6 weeks, then we stop kind of picking the open scab. Like if this ankle is broke, we just need to give it the space to heal. And then we can get back into like balance and living. But if you never give it the space to heal, you're always like, you always are walking around with that open wound and it just gets worse.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of that first phase. And then once that happens, what a lot of women will really notice is like better digestion. So their clothes automatically start to feel better. And more energy and they actually start to sleep better. And then we can kind of move into what I call like hormone or metabolism healing and repair phase, where we actually like, now we have this extra space. We can sort of deepen some of these practices of like, how am I moving in my life? How am I sleeping? We can get them to be really good because if you're in inflammation, you can't be working out. Actually, you need to be just walking and like functional movement, like yoga, for example. So we really need to like lower the stress in the body. So in healing and repair, we're able to really focus on things like blood sugar, which again, focuses on that consistent eating, on what we're eating in there, and just making our time about that, but also taking a look at the rest of our life. And this is where I feel like what you do really comes into play, because our body's under a lot of stress. When we lower that stress in our body, we're able to look at like, what are the other really valuable aspects of our life that create stress? Well, relationships is a huge one, you know, whether you want a relationship and you don't have one, whether you're in one and it's not right, like what a massive amount of stress. But we can't really deal with that stress faucet if we're like feeling like junk all day long. So in that next phase, it's really about, okay, maintaining the work that we're doing and then looking at like the other areas of life. How do I feel about, you know, my finances, my spirituality, my relationship, you know, my career, the other things that fulfill us? Because when you're dealing with stress and inflammation that massively impact our hormones, cortisol is the big player here. It really suppresses our progesterone, throwing off our estrogen progesterone balance. And that's where we end up getting a lot of trouble with things like endometriosis and PCOS and just overall chaos in perimenopause. So we need to make sure we're reducing the stress in our body in that phase. And once we've had that time kind of pass, then we can enter in what I call hormone optimization, which is when we actually learn about the 4 different phases of our cycle and learn how to eat that in a way that supports it, move our fitness, because there's cycles of our rhythm that we can actually really push ourselves to get better fitness results. And there's times like during our period when we really should be pulling back and not doing anything, mainly because our hormones and our metabolism pick up so much that we burn an extra 250 to 350 calories per day in our, like, our, it's called our luteal phase, which is our PMS phase, and our menstrual phase. And we've been taught our whole lives that like, we're just cranky and we have cravings and we're extra tired, but we're cranky and we have cravings and we're extra tired because we're burning so much more during that time. And everyone was like, oh, we're just going to crave chocolate. Like, you know, and that's why it's, which I think is so cool to learn about anyway.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I know. I feel like the message is, oh, you're just going to crave chocolate and want to watch the Hallmark Channel and, you know, Titanic and cry.
Yeah. You mean to your boyfriend. Like, you
know, just none of the actual science or what is needed to fuel yourself during those times. Wow. There's so much there from what you just shared. And I think, well, what I'm reminded of, and this happens for me too, of people I help, is like, nobody wants to do those first 2 stages.
I know.
They're like, what? Yeah. I have to look at my life. I have to I have to stop what I'm doing. I have to, you know, but it's true. I think any area of life, we really do have to go through that slowing down, reflection, what's working, what's not working. Like it's simply required for healing.
Yeah. It absolutely. I mean, I really try to look at it like being the CEO of your body and your life. It's like a CEO is super strategic. They look at all the things, and then they go into action. And it's a requirement for all success. If you don't cast up that ankle, then you're never going to be able to walk on it again. If you don't go to physiotherapy and get full range of motion, then you're always going to be limited. So you got to go through these steps. Otherwise, you're always limiting your peak performance opportunity.
Yeah. And I feel like I would love to tell you a little bit about kind of where I'm at. Cause I think people in the audience will relate of like, I have known that there's something off with my hormones forever. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with PCOS when I was like 14 years old. And I remember going home and crying, and I thought that I would never be able to have children. And I had just like all these beliefs about what it meant. And it was just this terrible thing. But anyway, since then, obviously I've educated myself, and I have periods of time where my hormones I know are good and my energy is good. And then I have periods of time where I know I'm off.
Yeah.
So like the last 2 years I've been off. And based on moving across the country, doing all the work that I do, I have this incredible relationship with my partner, all these other things in my life, I've kind of just put it on the back burner of like, okay, I mean, I did quit taking birth control, which I took for 20 years because I was put on at such a young age to manage hormonal acne. I was put on birth control at like 13. So I've been off of that now for almost 2 years, but here I am, like obviously running a business I love, doing all this work. And it was so easy for me to just put it on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 34 and I don't have children yet. And I really want to have kids. And let me tell you, that was the thing that I was like, okay, I really need to deal with this if I want to be able to conceive easily.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, well, PCOS is a hormone imbalance, and it is hard. Like it's hard because when you're on birth control, you're not even ovulating. So you don't actually even know if you're able to have, you know, what's actually happening. And when you're noticing these dips of energy so much, like to me, that's a real, like an early flag, a red flag of like, okay, something's not right inside, you know, something, you know, there is a core issue there. But a lot of PCOS can be improved significantly through, you know, through the holistic side. Have you ever heard of syncing with your cycle or cycle syncing? Yeah. So I don't, is that something that you work on or you've ever done?
So I would say I'm working on it now. I'm new to it. When I first heard about it, I was like, that's way too much work. Years ago when I first heard about it, I was like, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to keep track of all this. So, but you know, I am doing it now. I'm learning more about it.
Yeah.
But for the audience, tell them like, what would you recommend if they wanted to start doing that?
Yeah. So, syncing with your cycle is a really like, I mean, maybe to back up, I think, like it wasn't until the 1990s when women were even required to be a part of medical research or wellness research studies because our hormones were quote unquote unpredictable. So everything, you know, at 35 and I'm 42, like most of what we've been taught has been created on men, for their hormone rhythm. And which means we've been operating in life as small men, which is a problem because we have this entirely different hormone rhythm. So I get that it feels complicated because we've never been taught it. If we were taught this at 13 when we were getting our periods or 12, then this would be a no-brainer. But the whole world operates on like that circadian rhythm, like wake up, have energy, work hard, be social, go to bed, repeat. Whereas women, we have, like I said, we have such a range of our metabolism and such a range you know, our blood sugar levels and such a range of our energy in this time. What I think is so powerful about it is that in half of our cycle, we can get like 150% of what most men can get done. In the other half, we can get 75%. And that's still more than, you know, that's still more than an average of 100%, I find. So we can really crush it when we know what's happening and when we honor that cycle. And so this is the thinking behind syncing with your cycle. We have four distinct phases. We have our menstrual phase that everyone knows and is really easy to tell because we bleed. After your menstrual phase is what we call your follicular phase. And that's when your hormones, which have kind of bottomed out, really start to rise, especially particularly your estrogen begins to rise. And I always like to tell women, your estrogen is like rose-colored glasses. It goes on and everything is like, oh, no, I don't know what was bothering me last week. I'm totally fine. Everything's great. We have this rise in energy. It's almost like the springtime of our body, this follicular phase. It's like, we're ready to do new things. We're ready to try new workout programs. We're ready to start that new business idea. Like all these things are, and then after that, we move into ovulation, which is like the summer of our body. It's when all the hormones kind of come to the party. And if we're healthy, we can be really outgoing. And these two times, you know, we're not as hungry, our metabolism's lower. You know, we're really like, you know, we have the opportunity to really crush it at work in terms of outgoing things and planning things. That's when we start to kind of shift into this, they call it the luteal phase, which is the one that everyone knows as your PMS time. And it's when our hormones all kind of peak and then bottom right out. And that's why we end up feeling like, oh, I exhausted or frustrated or cravings or crying. And when, of course, when our hormones are imbalanced overall, we can't really tell season to season what's really going on. It's like this luteal phase, this exhaustion that maybe you're experiencing can kind of feel like it's all month long. And then we head into our menstrual phase. And again, your luteal and menstrual phase, you're burning so many more calories during that time. And our brain chemistry changes 25%. So if we're not moving with the rhythm, then we can feel like one person, if this has ever happened to you, where you're like half the month, you're like, yes, I'll do this and I'll go there. And the next half, you're like, hell no, I'm not showing up for that. You know, it's like this real swap. And the other thing I find in the luteal phase, everyone's like, oh, you're cranky. But because we have the estrogen, those rose-colored glasses come off, like that drops out. It's actually what we really feel. Like what's really bothering us is very real during that time. It's just, we've been taught to kind of pretend that it isn't, that everything's just irritating. Maybe we don't handle it as well during that time if we're really irritated, but it's such a powerful time to kind of check in with yourself and know, okay, how am I really feeling? So when you learn how to work out, eat, have sex, like work, in line, like in the phases that are maximized, you get super efficient. It actually makes me think of, like a lazy river. You know, you get on a lazy river, you hop on the tube and you just effortlessly float around.
Yes.
Get on the lazy river and you're going like sideways or backwards. It maybe doesn't bother you as much because you're like, oh, it's not, the current's not moving that fast, but eventually you really fatigue and you're making way more work for yourself than you need to. So
I love this. I love it. I've read Kate Northrup's books.
I love her.
Yeah. And she has always talked about this and how it applies to work.
Yes. And she's so, I read her book too. And her mom, Dr. Christiane Northrup, she's like the OG about menopause.
The OG of this. Yeah.
She's got amazing insight into these things, which I just think is awesome to have that knowledge as this is becoming a real issue. Yeah. I think now more than ever for probably dozens of reasons.
I love it. I love that you're talking about this and that you're helping women with this. And I do think it's one of those things that you can easily just say like, oh, I don't need to deal with that. Or, you know, I'm not going to look into it. But really when you know, like, hey, I'm worthy of taking care of myself. I'm worthy of doing whatever is needed, of making the changes, making the space for it. Just how powerful that can be. I mean, that's kind of my current journey.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, this is what is needed. And I owe it to myself. I owe it to my future kids that I want to have, like, being able to find a really good why, I think helps people with this. And I know energy is a big one. People just want to feel energetic, but remind yourself of your why, and then make the space to learn about this and change your life.
100%. I think, you know, what is a dangerous place for us to be in is like, I don't feel awful, but I don't feel amazing. Like when we get stuck in that, I'm a 7 or an 8 out of 10, it's like, it's hard to push yourself, but it's like, how much easier would your life be? How much better would your life be if you can get yourself to that 10? And I think having that, like that CEO mindset again of like strategizing ahead, because every woman's going to go through perimenopause. So if you're not in it yet, or you haven't been struggling with hormone imbalance like you with PCOS, you might be like, I don't need to worry about it, like you were saying. But if you get on top of it now, you might never have to go through the suffering that a lot of women are in and not know.
The earlier, the better, obviously. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, so there's so many schools of thought about diet and fasting in particular and supplements. Oh my gosh.
I know.
It is just everywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone has an opinion. I recently read, because I just love to educate myself on health, all kinds of health. I read Fast Like a Girl.
Yeah, I've read that too. It's a good one.
Yeah. So I'm so curious, and it's Dr. Mindy. Is it Mindy? What is her last name? Yeah. I can't remember. I Anyways, Dr. Mindy, Fast Like a Girl. If you Google it, you'll find it. But what's your take on fasting and that approach for women?
Yeah. So Dr. Mindy's approach is more around like fasting cyclically in a way, right? In a way that works for women. So one of the issues with fasting for women is that it throws off our blood sugar levels. And especially because most people are like, oh, I intermittent fast, but fasting to really work has to be consistent. Like you got to be nailing that sucker, not like, oh, I did it for 4 days and then I messed up and then I'm back for three, you know. You don't get yourself the benefits of fasting if you're wishy-washy about it. So if you're going to fast, we want to be really consistent, but because blood sugar levels are the fastest way to either throw, like add more stress to your body or reduce more stress, it's really tricky in women. So if you're in a hormone imbalance, it's not a good idea. And because we need really consistent blood sugar levels. Once your hormones are balanced and you're feeling really good, I think that's a great time to play with different things. Like everyone's bio individual, like try something else, but commit to it and be consistent, because then you'll never really know if it actually works for you. But I find like, if the goal is to optimize your hormones, you know, so that we can get to this 10, then we know like quality sleep is really, you know, important. Consistent nutrition is really important. Stress management is really important. And like movement, like this is like we animals do this in the wild. Like these are kind of our four health pillars. So we wake up in the morning and, you know, ideally we want to eat within those first 2 hours of the day. We eat 4 to 5 hours later. So call it, you're waking up at 6, you're eating at 8, you're eating again at 12 or 1, you're eating again at 5 or 6, and then you don't eat again. So from 6 p.m. until 8 a.m. is a 14-hour fast. So there's your benefit of the fasting window. And that's all you need. Like it doesn't have to be more than that. Because fasting can really, as I said, it will really throw off your blood sugar levels, which just adds stress to the body. And a female body in stress will store fat so fast that, you know, you're kind of going backwards, and it's just exhausting.
Thank you for that perspective, because I think a lot of people don't realize like, oh, if I actually just don't snack at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. with my show, then actually I'm getting the benefits of fasting without having to do this extreme, you know, 18, 20 hour fast. I have male friends that do 20 hour fasts like every day.
Yeah.
And they have a 4 hour eating window and they're shredded, and that works for them.
It works for the male hormone rhythm.
Right. Yeah. But I love that it's like, actually you can get the benefits of fasting without having to be so extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can work for women post menopause as well, but I think we have to be careful, because we can go into menopause with a hormone imbalance, and like, just because you're not bleeding doesn't mean you don't have those hormones. So you want to make sure you're balanced before you test out any of these things as a woman, because it's not designed for women. There's very little research that shows it's positive for women. There's just not enough. And so don't compare yourself to men.
And I do think that a lot of this comes down to trusting yourself and your intuition, and being willing to be curious about, well, what does actually work for me once you have the stable hormones, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you can kind of play around and experiment and find out like what works best with your lifestyle, et cetera. But you can't just get into like cookie cutter. Oh, this worked for so-and-so, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I love that reminder. The other thing I want to talk about, this is really relates to my audience specifically.
Yeah.
And this has been my experience. I think about the childhood trauma that I experienced. I lost my mother at a young age. I moved like 15 times in childhood, watched my dad go through multiple marriages. I mean, I have experienced a lot of chaos from ages 6 on. And I think about how that is connected to PCOS, which I have. And also the fact that, growing up, food was comfort and love. And like every night after dinner, there was a bowl of ice cream. And like, that was just like, you had to have it. So I think about like all these factors of trauma, sugar being such a regular part of my diet. And then I look at like my health and what I've experienced, and it's like, no wonder. Yeah. Do you believe in that, that early trauma has an impact?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, how we learn to comfort ourselves during trauma as a child sticks with us, like those neural pathways are in there. It sticks with us forever. And so absolutely, I believe that. And I think, you know, the fact that you recognize it is always our first step, right, towards growth. When you're like, when you can spot it, then at least we're problem aware, and then we can start to stop and swap the behavior. Otherwise, if you can't even see it, then you have a longer way to go. So, but yes, the other thing I find so interesting is like our, like when you do try to get pregnant, for example, or whether you're getting pregnant or not, but like the egg that is chosen to go down the path of like, you know, whether it's going to, you know, be inseminated or not, whether it's just going to, you know, get sloughed off with the endometrium layer, is chosen like 4 months ago. So the impact of the stress in your life around that egg 4 months ago is going to determine either how your PMS is or like the impact on that egg as it is like fertilized. So often, you know, like stress plays such a big role overall. And then of course, how we cope with that stress. So we know sugar is super stressful on the body. So then that adds another layer. So anyway, all that to say, yes, I think I definitely.
It's all connected.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all connected. And I will say I love, and I know this to be true for myself, when I have done my own healing, when I've let go of things from my past, when I've rewired my brain to have healthy beliefs, it's impacted my body.
Yeah.
Like dealing with trauma impacts your body, which is what you talked about for phase two.
Yes.
Really, of looking at what is not, what hasn't been dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. And even like whether you haven't dealt with it or maybe you're just unfulfilled, like if you have no social life and you're missing that, like that's a stress on your body. If you have no spiritual connection and you're needing it, like you might not need it. That's fine. Not everybody does. But if you need it and it's missing, that's stressful on the body. So and those all play a role because as stress flows in, the body can only handle so much stress, and women are really good at internalizing it and thinking we're managing it. So
yes, we are.
Yeah. Winners.
Well, I am going to continue on this journey as I go into 2024 of really just focusing on health and understanding my hormones, and I'll be tuning into your show and really grateful that we're connected. Can you tell people, obviously it'll be in the show notes, but tell people how to connect with you, how to work with you. Give us all the details.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So you can always listen to the Period Whisperer podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, that's where I talk a lot about this stuff in a longer form. You can come find me on Instagram at Bria_period_whisperer or my website, briatheperiodwhisperer.com, and just send me a message. I'm obsessed with this stuff. I totally geek out on it. So whatever you're struggling with, send me a message. Let me support you in one way or another.
Well, I have loved having you on the show so much. This is something that we haven't really talked about on the podcast. So I would love any of you listening to this, please take a screenshot, share it to your story, tag us both. We want to know your feedback. And like I said, all the information will be in the show notes. So we'll link everything in the show notes. And to anybody else who, like me, is maybe new to this or struggling, I think both of us would say, like, just be kind to yourself, be compassionate. There is no magic button. There is no finger snap. You commit that you are going to focus on this, that you're going to do the work, and it will get better with time.
Absolutely. Faster than you think.
Yes. Yes. All right, Bria, thank you so much. Oh, I always ask the audience, or I always ask the guests this question. I was so into our interview, I almost forgot to ask you. I have to ask you, this is tradition. Okay. So you're walking down the street and a random person comes up to you and they ask you for your best life advice of the moment. What advice would you give them?
I would say focus on being more in your life and not just less on a scale.
Ooh, goosebumps. So good. We all need to hear that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bria. And thank you for being a guest on the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And to everyone listening, we're wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.